Today is Mission Sunday. We put one of these on every quarter. Why? Because as a church, we want to remind ourselves what our mission really is. And I didn't come up with it. I'm not that bright. The head of the church, Jesus Christ, gave us a mission. We're to go. Amen? And we're to proclaim the gospel. We're to proclaim that good news that Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven, came to earth, dwelt among us. Get this, lived the life we couldn't, a perfect one. So he could die in your place on a cross for your sin. And then he rose again so that anybody who puts their faith in him could be forgiven, saved, have eternal life, and their life transformed forever. Is there any better news than that? So how can we not go and share it? And so we always want to put that message in front of you because we always gather to worship and then we scatter to witness. And so our motto is this. You ready? I've shared it many times. We want to take the whole gospel to the whole world with our whole hearts. Amen? So here's the question. How do we take the whole gospel to the whole world when we live in Williamsport? Well, one of the ways we do that is we look to intentionally partner with couples who are being led by God to take the whole gospel to the whole world with their whole hearts. And so we have a couple here this morning who's going to share their ministry and how God's been leading them. And I don't want to steal any of their thunder, but I just want to say that I'm kind of biased about this couple. I've known Chatiz and Brenna Gamire for a long time. I've known Brenna since she was in high school. She was in my youth group. And she went off to Bible school, and she met this Nepali named Chatiz. And they kind of fell in love, you know the story, and they got married. And then Chatiz, his heart has always been missions. He wants to go back to Nepal, but he wanted to get some ministry experience. And at that time, I was transitioning out of youth, and I was transitioning to a different role. And he called us and expressed interest. And but we knew that we weren't going to have him for very long. We knew that eventually he just had to get back to Nepal. And so he's been now there at Riverdale in Michigan for 7 years. And now they're beginning the process of heading back home. So Chatiz is heading home. And he's pretty excited about that. Brenna is leaving home. She's never left Michigan. And so she's excited about it too. Because as we were talking on Friday, Jesus said, you know, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to love me more than your mother and your father. And we read that verse and we don't get it, but Brenna's starting to really get it. And but when we remember how much Jesus loved us and how he demonstrated that by leaving heaven and coming to earth and dying for us, no sacrifice is enough for that, right? And so I'm just going to turn it over to them, and I'm going to pray first, then tease Brenna. You have the rest of the time, and I'm pretty long-winded, so you can go for 2 hours. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But let me pray for us. God, we thank you for our morning. And I just cherish Sunday mornings. And I just love being together with your people. And God, as David says, we come into your house this morning because of your mercy. Because of your mercy. We're not better than anybody. In your grace, you sought us out and you saved us. And by bringing us to faith in your son's sacrifice. And so how can we not sing, "Oh, Christ be magnified"? How can we not want to see Jesus, the Lord Most High, praised this morning? And so, God, we don't want to just see Jesus magnified and praised in this building. We want to see him magnified and praised throughout the whole world. And God, the Bible says there's a day coming when all peoples from all nations and tribes and tongues are going to be gathered around your throne, and they're going to be lifting up praises to our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our King, Jesus. And so, God, thank you that we get to be a part of that kingdom building. We get to be part of seeing people around that throne come to Christ because of our efforts. Because, God, we invested in the gospel and reaching people with it. And so we are so thankful to have Brenna and Chatiz here this morning. Bless them. I pray that their heart for missions will spill out all over us, and it will inspire us to go across the street to reach our neighbor and our coworker, so that Christ could be magnified here and around the globe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Oops. Good morning. Well, Pastor Tim said that he is long-winded and preaches, could preach for 2 hours. I have preached for 5 hours in Nepal, so don't tempt me. Right? I'm just saying. There was a church in Nepal, in rural Nepal, that I was supposed to go preach. And a few days before I went there, I called the pastor. I was like, so how long do you want me to go? And the pastor's like, some people are walking 2 hours just to get to church. So if you just preach for an hour, they won't be happy. So I was like, what are you thinking then? So he said 5 hours. And that's what I did. So we went through the whole book of 1 John in 5 hours. But anyhow, it is a tremendous honor for me to be here this morning and not only present our ministry, but also open the Word of God. Although this is my first time visiting Lycoming Valley Baptist Church, or even Williamsport, Pennsylvania, know that we have prayed for you guys often, and we do remember you guys often in our thoughts, and mainly because of our relationship with Pastor Tim and Jenny. I had the privilege of working with Tim for a few years before he came here as a pastor. And when I came to Riverdale to be the youth pastor there, what I didn't know was I was following Tim to be the youth pastor. Now, I knew technically that he was a youth pastor before, but what I didn't know was I was following someone who's so organized and who does things so well. And I'm the most disorganized person I know. So it was a huge learning curve for me. But I did always appreciate that his door was always open. And anytime I went and asked questions, which I did a lot, that he would drop everything and just help me out. More so, I do also want to recognize publicly, although this is, I don't say this often to them personally, that Tim and Jenny, I'm so thankful for your investment that you made in my wife, Brenna. As Tim said, like, Tim was Brenna's youth pastor, and Tim and Jenny have had great impact in her life. And the fruit of which I get to enjoy is my wife and also my ministry partner. So thank you, Tim. Thank you, Jenny. Sorry, I wasn't trying to make anyone cry, but I had to publicly at least recognize that. I'm very honored, I'm very humbled to be here this morning and present to you. So, Lycoming, let me begin by introducing ourselves, who we are. So we are the Ghimires, missionaries to Nepal. My name is Chitiz. I know this is not the normal name that you hear in Lycoming, but, and oftentimes in fast food places, I go by Bob. So you can call me Bob too, right? So my name is Chitiz and my wife is Brenna. We have two kids, Himani and Ledger. Imani is 3 years old, Ledger is a year and a half, and right now they are ruling over your kids' ministry there. So pray for the leaders. I am. And we are BBFI missionaries to Nepal. And we can go to the next slide. And we'll talk a little bit more about our ministry, and I'll have my wife share a little bit too during the question and answer time after the service. So please stay back because I want to hear your questions too, and I want you to hear her too. But our mission has threefold goal. The goal is to evangelize the people of Nepal through the gospel of Jesus Christ, to disciple the people of Nepal through God's word, and then to continue the legacy of the gospel through church planting. And these are not the goals that I made myself. Again, like, I'm not that smart. But these are the goals that is given to us by Jesus Christ himself in the Great Commission. It's to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them and teaching them. So it's evangelism. It's a discipleship, and then that happens in the context of local church. And so we are missionaries that are also church planters. And our heart is to plant a church starting in Pokhara. So if you look at the map, you see the bold letter over there is Kathmandu. That's the capital. And if you look at, I get confused in my left and right. So my left, your right, towards the map, if you look at it, there's a place called Pokhara. And that province is called Gandaki province. And that is where we are planning to to take the gospel to. So we can go to the next slide. We are BBFI missionaries to Nepal, focusing on Gandaki province and Pokhara cities. You can see kind of what Pokhara city looks like, kind of like Lycoming. It's a valley surrounded by hills. 88%, more than 88% of Nepal's population is considered unreached. Now, this statistic is from Joshua Project, so it may not be 100% accurate, but it's not far off. More than 88% of people that do not know who Jesus Christ is. And when I say unreached, I'm not talking about people who have heard of Christ and rejected them. But I'm talking about people who have little to no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. More than 94% of Gandaki's province are unreached. 1.42 million out of 1.78 million population. Why are we going to Gandaki province? Why are we going to Pokhara, you may ask? Well, the gospel first came to my family in Pokhara. I was born and raised in Nepal. I'm from Nepal. And the gospel first came to my family in Pokhara. I'll share a little bit about this here in a little bit. But that's why we want to take the gospel back to the city where it first came to us. So we aim to reach these people through evangelism and church planting. Let's go to the next slide. So as missionaries, our vision is to serve the Lord in Nepal by proclaiming the gospel, planting churches, and training national leaders. So our long-term goal would be to, as we plant the church and make disciples, would be to train national leaders, hand over the church, and do the same thing in different towns and different places, so and plant churches. So we want to take the gospel to Pokhara, Nepal, beginning with where the gospel first came to my family. And we do have a unique advantage because I'm from Nepal, so I don't have to learn the language. I know the culture. I love the food. I love the people, right? And my family is going to learn the language and all that, but I already have that advantage in that sense. And we also have another unique advantage is that my dad is a pastor of a church in Kathmandu, Nepal. And he's been pastoring a church since 2002. I'll share a little bit about his story in my message today too. But because of that, we already have a unique relationship with the church that will help us plant church in Pokhara. So we'll already have a somewhat of a foundational backing that we need. So we can go to next slide. As missionaries, we are right now in our deputation ministry, which means that we are visiting churches, presenting our ministry, and asking the church to prayerfully consider us and partner with us in taking the gospel to Nepal. And we just started full-time deputation in February, I would say, where we have been visiting churches every Sunday, and we're already about 36%. And so God has really shown himself to be faithful to us. And one thing that I've realized in the last 2 months is that if God calls you for something, he also equips you. And you can trust him with that. You can trust him with that. And he has shown that to us through how he has brought out partners and how he has brought out partnership for us. Along with our monthly need, we also have one-time special need. And we can go to the next slide for that. It just breaks down what our needs are. We have visa document fee, setup cost, vehicle fee. And we are about 10% on that. And our goal is to raise our fund by June of 2026 and get on the field by then. And so pray for us and just pray that, you know, Lord would provide the right partners for us to take the gospel to Nepal. All right, we can go to the next slide. So what do we need? We need earnestly seek your prayers and your support and your partnership. Our needs are great, but our God is greater, isn't it? And if he calls you for something, he will make sure to equip for you, and he will make sure to provide for you. And we are confident in that. You can also visit us in our website, gimiraisetonepal.com, and just follow along in our journey. I'll be sending out our monthly letter to the church here, so you can also keep up with us through that. Also, on the back in the foyer, there's a table where we have set up a few things from Nepal, and we'll be out there after the service. So come and say hi and get our prayer card so you can keep up with us, right? So let's begin. The title of my message this morning is, Should We Be Involved in Global Missions? We're gathered here this morning focusing on missions. And my prayer and his goal is to have you guys partner with us in taking the gospel to Nepal And eventually, as our partnership establishes to represent you and all the other churches that we partner with in proclaiming the gospel, making the disciples and planting churches in the country of Nepal. Now, I know that not everyone here is going to be a missionary to a foreign field, right? You have your own life, you have your own community, you have your own church. And with all the issues and needs that you have in your own life, in your own community, and in your own church, the question that we ought to ask is, should we still be focused on global missions? Should we still be focused on global missions? Well, personally, my answer is going to be yes. I'm a missionary. I'm asking you to pray for us. I'm asking you to support us. So my answer is going to be obviously yes. I want you guys to pray for us. I want you to support us financially. I want you guys to come with us with mission trips so the gospel flourishes in Nepal. And so my answer will be yes, we should all be involved in global missions. But brothers and sisters, more than what I say, or more than what I have experienced, I want to encourage us all to be involved in global missions through our final authority, and that is God's word. So, I'm going to copy the phrase from your pastor, Tim. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, turn the pages of your scripture to Psalm 67. We didn't plan this, but he read the psalm earlier too. Psalm 67. This psalm, written by an unknown author, many say that it was written by a Levitical musician during the time of King David or King Solomon. But this psalm is famously known as a missionary psalm. Now, this does not mean that this psalm is just for the missionaries, but the psalm is, in a sense, a call for everyone to be missionaries, whether in your community or to the outermost part of the world. And the goal is that we should be striving to do both, in our community and to the other parts of the world. As Christ commanded, make disciples of all the nations. So as we strive to reach our community, we should always think about how can we be involved in global missions. So before we read this psalm, I want us to understand our God who inspired this psalm. You see, God's heart has always yearned to bring sinful people from all tribes and nations in reconciliation with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is not a New Testament philosophy. The gospel has been God's solution to the problem of sin and eternal death from the beginning. And knowing how sovereign our God is even before the foundation of the earth. And this psalm is a call for people from all tribes and all languages and all the nations and tongues to worship the one true God. Brothers and sisters, there are billions of people that live today and do not worship the one true God. As you saw in our slide, more than 90% of people in the province that we are planning to go are considered unreached. I was born and raised a Hindu, worshiping the idols, statues, the mountains, the animals, the plants, and as Romans 1 says, worshiping the creation rather than the creator. Every religion in the world outside of Christianity worships a creation, whether it be a created human, or a created thing, or a created philosophy, rather than the one true creator God. And brothers and sisters, this psalm is a call for all the followers of one true God to proclaim to the world that there is only one true God who is worthy of all the worship of all the people of the world. And so why should we be involved in global missions? So that as we make His name known and as people may know Him and get saved, that may result in His worship, all for His glory. May we find these great truths as we read Psalm 67, the Word of God that we have the privilege of studying this morning. So listen to this. This psalmist, inspired by God, writes, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make His face to shine upon us. that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. You know, what I love about this psalm is the focal point of this psalm is God. Isn't it? It is God who is gracious. It is God who blesses us. It is God's face that we seek favor from. It is God we ought to make known. It is God who we praise. It is God's judgment and providence that we as nations should be rejoicing. And it is God who blesses us, and it is God whom we should fear. And even here, we find the main reason why we should be involved in global missions. Not because we can tell we did this or that or we accomplished this or that. But the focal point is God. It is God we obey in taking the gospel to the world. It is God we proclaim to the unreached part of the world. It is faith in God that we call all the sinners to. It is God we worship as God's grace is extended to more and more people. And it is the glory of God that drives us to be involved in global missions. So, brothers and sisters, through our passage, I want to make three petitions that should encourage us to be involved in global missions. Here's the first one. We believers should desire for the salvation of the nations. We believers should desire for the salvation of the nations. Look at verses 1 and 2 again. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. And this psalm starts with a prayer. And this prayer is applicable to both believers and non-believers. What a great prayer this is. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. You'll find similar prayer like this in Aaron's priestly prayer in number 16 or number 6. But what I see is that this psalmist is not just asking or praying to God, but in fact, he's also making a statement that God will be gracious to us, God will bless us, and God will cause his face to shine over us. In fact, in verse 6, he says with confidence, God shall bless us. So it's not merely a prayer, but it's also the confidence that for us believers that God is gracious to us and God has blessed us. And that is the confidence that we can have as believers, isn't it? Now let's unpack this. Right? God's grace is the benefit that we receive from God that is fully unmerited or undeserved. Now Christians, nobody knows the greatness of God's grace and the amazement of God's grace than we, isn't it? Now in one sense, God is gracious to everyone. The Son signs on the believers and non-believers. You can be the most anti-God person in this world today and still enjoy God's creation and even have success in this life. And that is all because of God's grace. But as believers, we have known about and we have tasted God's special grace. Grace that is not temporary but permanent. And the greatest demonstration of that grace is Jesus Christ. Because through Christ, although we were sinners, our sins are forgiven. Now we have access to God and his throne. And we have this eternal father-children relationship with him. You see, what we deserve, the moment we sin against God, is his wrath. But God, out of his love, by his grace, gives us what we don't deserve at all. And that is his forgiveness through his Son, Jesus Christ. We need God's grace every single day, don't we? We need God's grace. And God has promised us that he will give us grace after grace. Even when our sins are great, his grace is greater. And so the psalmist is not just asking for grace, but he's also recognizing how God has been gracious to us, and he's reminding of the guarantee that our God will be gracious to us. Believers of Lycoming Valley, has God been gracious to us? He has. Along with God's grace, the psalmist is also praying and recognizing that God bless us. We need God's blessing, don't we? I've never met someone who's like, you know what, I'm good on God's blessing. Unless you are a hardcore atheist, even unbelievers are like, you know, I don't believe in that God, but I'll still take the blessings. You can still pray for me. And we should see God's blessing over our life, our family, our careers, our businesses, and so on. There's nothing wrong in seeking God's blessing. But Psalmist, again, he's not just asking for God's blessing. He's also acknowledging that God has blessed him and will continue to bless him. Again, the first verse itself is a recognition that God is the source of all grace and blessing, isn't it? Along with God's grace and God's blessing, the psalmist also wants God to make his face to shine upon us. Now, what does it mean to make your face to shine upon someone? See, I grew up in the kingdom of Nepal under the rule of a king. We don't have king anymore, but I grew up under the rule of king. And so a normal citizen like me was only allowed to be in the presence of king if the king was very pleased with me and wanted to reward me. And the concept is similar here. The idea of God making his face to shine upon us. It is the prayer and the recognition that God is pleased with us. And today for us, we can be assured that God's favor is upon us believers because of Christ and our salvation. You don't have to doubt that. So these are some great prayers to ask our God, isn't it? God, be gracious to us. God, bless us. God, cause your face to shine over us. These are some great prayers that we should all pray. But the question is, why? Why do we pray this prayer? Why should we pray this prayer? Why should we pray that God be gracious to us and bless us and favor us? See, our immediate mind tells us because that is good for us, right? It is good for us. That is good for our family. Having God's grace and blessing and favor, it makes us happy. And that is not necessarily wrong. But that is not enough. But that is not enough. We should not limit our desire for God's grace, blessing, and favor to ourselves. Our verse says that rather, we should seek God's grace, blessing, and favor so that it can be used to extend God's name among the nations. Look at verse 2. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. See, the psalmist is making a petition that our prayer in seeking God's grace, God's blessing, and God's favor should have a purpose. And that purpose should be that God's knowledge and God's salvation would be experienced among and by the nations, in our community, and to the outermost part of the world. Brothers and sisters, we have a job to accomplish. The Great Commission to make disciples of all the nations. And so in order to be obedient to that job, we ought to ask God to bless us. Not just for our sake, but even more for the sake of the gospel to spread to the nations. Have we thought about that? Like I said, not everyone can be a missionary to a foreign nation. But everyone can have the mindset that the psalmist has in Psalm 67. And can be involved in the global missions. How can I use the life, the resource, the career, the marriage, the family, the church, and so on, all of which is God's grace and blessing to us? How can I use it to advance God's kingdom in this world? How can I use it to advance the knowledge and salvation of God, not just in our community, but also to the outermost part of the world? So the few questions that we ought to ask is this: has God been gracious to us? Has God blessed us? Then what are we using it towards? Is it just to bless us, ourselves, or is it to bless the nation, to make his name known, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to the world? For there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is a good reminder to us. Because in our sin nature, we can at times be focused on just enjoying the blessing that God has given to us without realizing the purpose behind the blessing. As one of my commentators wrote on this verse, we must turn our eyes to the nations for the sake of our God to be known among all peoples. Brothers and sisters, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the churches and believers in churches that sacrificially give to missions, that pray for missions, that train their people to take the gospel to fulfill the mission, that send missionaries to the world, and those that faithfully answer the calling of God to go to the world. Because it was missionaries who shared the gospel with a hotel owner in Nepal in mid-90s that God used to bring that hotel owner to salvation. And then his family got to hear the gospel. And I am the son of that hotel owner. Just a few weeks back, I called a pastor in Florida trying to schedule us for the upcoming missions conference in their church for next year. And as I was talking to him and I was sharing my testimony, he paused me in the middle and said, wait, the missionary that you're talking about, is his name David Freeman? I said, yes, it is David Freeman. He said, we have supported David Freeman since day one. And right there I said, thank you. Thank you for being involved in global missions and sacrificially giving towards missions. Because of them, God's name and salvation was extended to my family in Nepal. Do you see how you can also be involved in global missions? Let me give you an example. You know, a reservoir, it stores the water. It stores the water in it for itself. It keeps it contained. It has a purpose for it. But if you compare a reservoir with a river receives the water from the mountain, but it does not keep it to itself. It passes it along, providing water wherever it flows, satisfying the thirst of people along the way. Do you see where I'm going with this? We have the good news of the gospel that gives eternal life to spread to the world. So we are not to be private Christians, privately practicing our faith, but we are to be involved in the mission of God to make His glory known here in Pennsylvania, in Nepal, and to the outermost part of the world. Because as our first petition says, we believers should desire for the salvation of the nations. And here's my next petition. Not only should we desire for the salvation of the nations, but we believers should desire the worship of our Lord among all peoples. We believers should desire the worship of our Lord among all peoples. Look at verse 3 to 5 on our passage. Verse 3 to 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Now, there is a repetition in verse 3 and 5 that says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Now, we all know that the word people itself is plural. The idea of saying peoples instead of people is the idea of people group of various tongues and tribes. So what the psalmist is saying is that God used my resource to advance your name and your salvation among all people group. So that as they get saved, they may give you the praise for who you are. See, from the language of the psalmist looks like a farmer. So he's basically looking at his field and the harvest that God has blessed him with. And his mindset is, how can I use this God's blessing in my life to be blessing to others, in extending salvation to others, so as people get saved, they may give praise to one true God. And what a great cause to live our life towards. And you don't have to be a missionary to have this mindset. You have to be willing and obedient. Now, why should the nations praise God? Well, the simple answer the psalmist gives is because of who God is. Look at verse 4. He says, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Why should the nations praise God? I mean, think about that culture. Why should they praise the God of Israel and forsake every other God that they have known? A few years back, I had the chance to share the gospel with my 104-year-old great-grandma, who has been a devoted Hindu for 104 years. Why should she forsake all the beliefs that she has had and worship Jesus Christ, our Lord, alone? Why should the people in Muslim nations forsake Muhammad and others forsake Buddha, others forsake their materialistic, atheistic worldview? Why should they all forsake that? Psalmist answers, because there is only one true God. He's revealed in the scripture. He's the God over all the nations. He's the God who will judge the nations as well as individuals. He's the God who guides the nations with righteousness and with goodness and according to his purpose. I love what Don Green wrote on this. He's a pastor in Kentucky. Listen to this. He writes, he is the surpassing God. He is the transcendent God. And because he is over all of the nations owe him their praise, their obedience, because they derive their existence and individuals derive each breath from him. And they should be glad that their destinies are in the hands of a good God, an upright God, a sovereign God who has power to right wrongs and has the power to judge evildoers so that they do not have the final word in the realm of human existence. A God like that should be praised everywhere. A God like that should be loved everywhere. Although I will say this, when we read verse 4 plainly, this may sound a little off. Why should we rejoice in God's judgment upon earth at times, where many will be judged for their sins and sent to hell? But that is not the intention of the psalmist here. The psalmist wants to spread God's name so that many may be redeemed and turn to the true worshipers of God, and hence may rejoice in God's judgment, because by God's grace they are redeemed. Christians, one day, as Philippians says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And that will be a day of joy and contentment for us believers as we will meet our Savior face to face. Our Lord Jesus, who paid the price for our sins so we can be declared righteous in God's court. But it will be a day of condemnation for those that are not in Christ, as they will face the punishment for their sins from their righteous judge, our God. And the psalmist is saying that his desire is to see people get saved and meet Christ, not just as their judge, but also as their Savior. That is when the nations can be glad and sing for joy, because they can rejoice in the Lord who will bring perfect justice, and they can lean on God for guidance. But again, going through the flow of our passage, the psalmist wants us to use our resource, our blessing, to make God known among the earth. Why? Like verse 4 says, so that many may rejoice in knowing who God is and get saved. And why? As verse 3 and 5 says, so that they can be true worshipers of one true God. And this is the repeated theme of the Bible. If you think about it, why did God choose the nation of Israel? Why did Moses fight for the deliverance of Israel? Also that they can be a people of worship. Ligon Duncan, he writes, as believers, it's a longing for the salvation of the nation. And it's a longing that the nations, having been saved, would turn and praise God for who he is in his judgment and in his providence. Again, the goal of mission is not just so we can see people get saved. The goal of mission is that as people get saved, they turn into true worshipers of one true God. Does our God deserve all the worship? Yes, he does. That's why John Piper famously wrote this: mission exists because the worship does not. Worship is the goal and fuel of missions. You see, the greatest tragedy of the world today is that there are billions of people who are not worshiping the one true God. And most of them don't even know of this one true God. They are worshiping statues that have eyes that do not see, ears that do not hear. They are worshiping the created things that are all temporary, the mountains that are majestic but give no hope of eternal life, and so on. They are worshiping humans who claim to be gods, who came, who lived, and who died, and guess what? They're still dead. And those that worship the creation rather than the creator are also deemed to face the eternal death as they live and die in their sins. There is only one escape, and that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came and lived the perfect life that we could not live and died, taking upon the punishment for our sins. And on third day, the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen. We serve a resurrected Christ, the only one true resurrected Savior of this world. And so whosoever, anyone who repents of their sins and believes in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will have their sins forgiven and now are able to fulfill the purpose that they were created for. And that is to worship the one true God. Brothers and sisters, only our God deserves all the praise and worship from all the people group. He deserves all the glory. And that is what should drive us to be involved in global missions. That is why we go and proclaim. That is why we pray and give and send. In fact, if you are here and you do not know Christ is your Lord and Savior, by God's grace, He has brought you here to hear this good news. And He deserves your worship too. And in doing that, you are blessed with eternal relationship with Him. So I plead with you to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ in faith for your salvation today. And you will have been in this eternal relationship with Him. Christians, Paul, the greatest missionary of all time, had the similar mindset and similar goal for missions too. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 15. He says, "For it is all for your sake." Right, my preaching, my suffering, going from jail from one place to another, all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. And so if we believe that our God deserves this magnitude of praise and glory, it should automatically compel us to be involved in global missions. Because there are still many people groups, many tribes and languages where there is little to no access to the gospel. Before I move on, though, I have to give this quick thought and challenge. As I was preparing this, it was challenging for my own life, too. I just want to encourage you with this. I think it will be hard to desire God's worship among the nations if we don't have desire to worship God in our life. It is hard to pray and desire that many people of the world would praise you, God, if we ourselves are not the people of praise. So maybe for some of us, before we think of global missions, maybe today is the day we think of ourselves. Do we admire God? Are we in absolute awe of God in such a manner that it leads us to worship Him, to glorify Him with every aspect of our life? Because if that is the case, then you'll have no hesitation in telling others about Christ. Because at that point, you want everyone to know this great God. And you want everyone to worship Him too. Believers, we should desire worship of God among all peoples, which brings us to our last petition. We believers should desire to use our resource to accomplish God's mission. We believers should desire to use our resources to accomplish God's mission. Verse 6, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. I think I need to spend a lot of time explaining this verse because this verse is almost a response to verse 1. In verse 1, the psalmist is praying for God to bless us. And in verse 6, he's recognizing God's blessing. Him being a farmer, he's recognizing how God has blessed his harvest. How God has increased His harvest. And he recognizes that the blessing that he has is from God. All good and perfect things is from God, as James writes. But again, he directs his thought to the greater purpose. God has blessed us by giving us a great harvest, and may God continue to bless us. But for what purpose? Right here he says, so that the whole earth may fear Him. The whole earth may fear Him. Again, the purpose is to make Him known, so He is worshipped, so He is feared, and so He is glorified. So as we wrap up, I want us to understand a few things. There's nothing wrong in asking God to bless us. But I also want us to think, sometimes we may think that God has blessed us only when we are rich or have great health. We should desire God's blessing, but not for our selfish sake, but to make Him known. And when we recognize that, sometimes even trials and hardships are blessings. Because sometimes it helps us to make Him known even more. I was just watching testimonies of this man in prison who committed crime, and they were in prison. And somehow in prison they heard the gospel and they got saved. And one of the prisoners shared this: I'm living my best life in prison. Why? Because he got saved in prison and he's living his life telling other prisoners about Christ. Even hardships can be a blessing if we understand the purpose. So my prayer is that God blesses Lycoming Valley Baptist Church abundantly. But not just for your sake, but for the sake of His glory. So that through Lycoming Valley, the gospel may reach your community and to the ends of the world. I want to end by giving you an example of Martin Luther, the great reformer. It was said about Martin Luther from a guy who wrote about his biography. It says that Martin Luther was many things, but he was never selfish with the grace of God and the glory of the gospel. What does it amount to? He asked in a soul-searching way, that we have the gospel in this little corner. Just reckon that there is no gospel in all of Asia and Africa, and that the gospel isn't preached in many parts of Europe, in Greece, Italy, Hungary, Spain, France, England, or Poland, as the world existed in his day. So Martin Luther would say, what does it amount to that we have gospel in our little room when the whole world, the rest of the world doesn't? This is the point. This is the point, guys. And this writer said about Luther, so we learn our final lesson from him. Not only should we be steadfast for the gospel, but we must also be unselfish with it. So may the God of Word encourage us through the Word of God to be involved in global missions. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, may you be gracious to us. May you bless us and may you cause your face to shine upon us, Lord. So that we can not only enjoy your blessing for ourselves, but we can make you known through it in our community and to the uttermost part of the world. So that may we not only be the people of worship, but may we also be the people that desire your worship among all people group of the world. For you deserve the worship of all the peoples. Lord, as we pray this prayer, we also recognize how much you have been gracious to us and how much you have blessed us. And as we thank you, Lord, I pray that we may all look into our lives and think about how we can use it to glorify your name. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Thank you.